and I find out I'm messing up. My dad and I made some guitars a few years ago, and I thought, man, this thing is perfect. When I got done, put the strings on it, they're too high off the neck. And I can't find a bridge anywhere in the world that's low enough to get them down any. So I'm still working on that. But if God did it, it would have been perfect the first time, you see. Turn with us tonight to Romans chapter number 12. I want to try to bring a message tonight. First, starting off a new year. And I tell you, we all ought to. I'm not much into New Year's resolutions. I don't do that very much. But we should all try to be closer to the Lord and try to do more for Him this year than we did last year. You say, preacher, I'm pretty satisfied with what I did last year. Then if you'd done more this year, you'd be more satisfied, wouldn't you? So, you know, that ought to be our desire, to do more of what God wants and less of what we want. And here in Romans chapter 12, Paul writing to the Romans over here in the Roman church, verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. We ask you, Heavenly Father, just to anoint the preaching. Lord, I don't want it just to be another dead sermon, but God, I want it to touch hearts. Lord, I know that, Father, without you it won't touch anybody, but with you it'll touch everybody. God, help us tonight, Lord, to bring this message the way that you've laid it on our heart through the last couple of days. Lord, I ask you just to be with each one of us tonight. Help us to seek a closer walk with you. God, I ask you, Lord, tonight to help us this coming year, our church. Lord, we see souls saved every once in a while, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we'd like to see more. God, we just want to win more for Christ, God, and take them out of the devil's hands. God, help us, Father, as individuals, as a body. Lord, as a church, we ask you to help us, Lord, to do more this year than we did last year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul said here in Romans, in the first verse here, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we need to pay attention to the leadership of God. He said, I beseech you. That means that he is practically begging you. He is giving an invitation to you. He's sending out a plea for this Roman church. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, the fact that he calls them brethren tells me they're saved. If you're not saved, you're not a brother. Every one of us in here tonight that are saved by God's grace are brother and sisters in Christ. And Paul here, he's writing to the brethren. So that tells me he's writing to those that are saved. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now, God don't want any dead sacrifice. And that's what he is getting too much of the time. We don't give God what he really wants, and that is a living sacrifice. I hear people all the time that say, well, I'd be willing to die for Christ. Well, that's not what... You can't do God any good for dying for him. Jesus already took care of all that. that. You can die and it won't help anybody. But if you live unto Christ, and if you live and be a living sacrifice, then you can help those around you. You can help those on the job where you work. You can help those in the school where you go. You can help those in the neighborhood. You can help those at the grocery store that you see week after week. You can help people tonight by just simply being a living sacrifice for God. And I talk to people sometimes. They say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Then you're not a living sacrifice for God. People say, well, I know what I'm supposed to do, and one day maybe I'll do that, but right now I'm doing my own thing. Then you're not a living sacrifice. And Paul said here, to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We need to present our bodies. We need to present ourselves in everything that we do. We should check with God first and try our best to do things the way that He wants them done and the way that He says to do them. He said, be a living sacrifice, holy. Now that's not W-H-O-L-Y. That's not the whole thing. He said holy, H-O-L-Y. That means to be like God. He said, be ye holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy. We need to be holy. We need to be right on as close to perfect as we can. We need to be as close to God and as much like God as we possibly can. I know one church I preached at, the ladies came outside, some of them, and they said, he expects us to be like little Jesus. Well, I don't expect that, but I believe God does. I believe that Jesus expects us to be little Jesuses. I think we need to be as close to Christ-like as we possibly can be. And you say, well, that's too hard. It's not hard to live for Christ if you let Christ do the living through you.
Amen.
He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. You know what? People look at us and they are to see something different about us. I know we're living in a day and time when churches just allow anything in the world to go on. And I'm going to tell you something, I've said many times, if I was a lost person and I was looking to get saved and I walk into a church where everybody looks like I do, they talk like I do, they act like I do, I wouldn't get anything there. I'm looking for people that are different than what I am. And listen, that needs to be us tonight. Church, we need to be different than what the world is. We need to come out from among them and be a separated group of people, the Lord said.
Amen.
He said, be holy and acceptable unto God. What does it take to be acceptable? Well, really all it takes is just a willingness to be acceptable to God. If you're willing to conform to God, if you're willing to be what God wants you to be, if you're willing to do what God wants you to do, if you're willing to say what God wants you to say, it's not that hard to be acceptable unto the Lord if we just dedicate our life to Him and do our best to try to live for Him. Being acceptable to Him is really not that big of a problem. He said, being acceptable unto God. And he wound up that first verse by saying, which is your reasonable service. God has never asked any of us to do anything that's unreasonable. Never has he called on any of us and said, I want you to do this. I know it's unreasonable, but I want you to do it. That's never happened in the history of the church. That's never happened since Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary. Now, I'm not going to say it might not have happened back in the Old Testament under the law. Some things they had to do to me seem pretty unreasonable. But I want to tell you something. Since Jesus died and resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. There's never been an unreasonable request made to any of God's children. Samuel sent Saul out to kill and to slay and slaughter and destroy the Amalekites, or Amalek. Saul went out and Samuel said, "You kill everything. You kill all the people. You kill male, female, don't matter. Because God remembers how the Amalek treated Israel when they came out of Egypt. And vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay." And it was payday for Amalek. And Saul went out. And when he came back, he brought the king of Amalek with him. And he also brought the best of the sheep and the ox and the goats and all those things. And he brought them back with him. And somebody told Samuel, Saul is back and he's set up out here. And so Samuel got up early in the morning and went to where Saul was at. And he said, "Why didn't you do what God said?" And Saul said, "I did do what God said." That's the way we are, isn't it? We're not doing what God said, but we're not ever going to admit it. Samuel said, "If you did what God said," and Saul said, "Well, you said go out and destroy Amalek, and I did that." But he brought the king back. See, that wasn't part of the deal. He said, "You said go out and destroy everything that lives, and we did, except the good stuff." See, God never said take the spoil. Sometimes when Israel went to battle, they had permission to bring the spoil back. But in this case, they was to bring nothing back. And Samuel said, "If you did what God said to do, what's the noise that I hear? The bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. If you did what God said to do, why am I hearing these noises?" And Saul said, "Well, that was," he said, they. You know how it is when you're not right with God, you always want to blame somebody else. It's easy to blame you for my mistakes. But I want to tell you, that's not what I need to be doing. I need to be blaming me. I need to accept what the blame that comes to me. I need to accept that. I need to be willing to accept when I'm wrong, and then that way I can try to change myself. But as long as I'm blaming somebody else for it, I'll never change. Because it's your fault. You're the one that has to change. That's not how it is. That's not how this works. But Saul said, "They brought back the best, so that of the sheep and the oxen, so that they would have a sacrifice." And if you read over there in 1 Samuel, I believe in the 15th chapter where that's at, he said, if you read, they brought all this stuff back to offer sacrifice to the Lord, thy God. You ever notice that? He didn't say my God, he said thy God. In other words, God, hey, God don't belong to me, but he belongs to you. I'm still right with him. That's not possible. If he's not your God tonight, you cannot be right with him. He has to be your God the same as he is anybody else's God. And Samuel asked Saul a question in 1 Samuel 15:22. He said, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Listen, we need to obey the voice of the Lord. God doesn't get a big thrill out of sacrifices. He does, and matter of fact, in 2018, he does not want a dead sacrifice. That day is over and done as of when Jesus died on the cross. The sacrifices, that stopped that. Jesus was the last sacrifice that was needed. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of all the world." Listen, all those dead sacrifices, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and possibly millions that they offered in the Old Testament, and not one of them was able to take away anybody's sin, not even for a minute. But Jesus, he said, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The whole world. Listen, Samuel asked Saul, he said, "Has God got such a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as he does in obeying the Lord. Listen, if we'll obey the Lord, that is our sacrifice. We sacrifice of our time. We sacrifice of our efforts. We sacrifice of the things that we have. I mean, you say, I don't have anything to give God. Everybody's got something to give to God. You just got to be willing to sacrifice. You sacrifice tonight by coming out on this cold winter night and coming to the house of God. Every one of us could have been sitting at home by the heat and been and feeling a whole lot better. But you see, we put that aside and we made a sacrifice to come out to the house of God to worship God and to lift Him up before a lost and dying world. We made a sacrifice by being here tonight. And there's other sacrifices. You made a sacrifice by getting up in the choir and singing. Made a sacrifice by singing special songs. You made a sacrifice by praying for one another. Making a sacrifice by praying for the preacher. You made a sacrifice unto God. And listen, God loves our sacrifice of obedience. You don't care much for those sacrifices that they offered up. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Listen, God, He's had enough old dead sacrifices. Israel, when God first set up the sacrifice, I believe, well, it's even before God set it up, way back over yonder. I guess Adam and Eve probably offered sacrifice. I know Abraham did. I know Jacob did. I know Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs. I know they all offered sacrifice unto God. And I know they offered the lambs and the goats and the rams and the different things that they had. But when God laid out the Mosaic law over there and in Egypt, when they set aside the Passover lamb, God said, take a lamb without spot or blemish. I want the best thing that you have to offer. That's the only thing that's going to do the job is the best that you have. Israel came to a point and place when they was just giving God leftovers. Listen, God don't want our leftovers. He wants us to be holy before Him. And He don't want our leftovers. He wants the main course. If you go somewhere to dinner, somebody invites you to dinner and they set a spread on the table and everybody eats and they don't call you. And when everybody's done, they got leftovers and they say, now you can come and eat. You'd feel pretty bad about that. That's exactly what Israel was doing for God. In Malachi chapter number 1 and verse 13, God said to Israel, to Malachi, told the children of Israel, He said, you've offered God the sick and the lame and the maimed and those that are not worth having. That's what you're bringing to God. He said, take it and give it to your governor if he'll have it, because God's not going to have it. He don't want what's left over. He wants a living sacrifice. And He wants that living sacrifice through you and I. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. You can do that. If you're saved, you can do that. You can be a living sacrifice to God tonight if you just be willing to obey His voice and obey His word and keep His commandments. He doesn't want... You know, we give our boss 90% of what we got, probably 60% at least. I used to give 110. We give our family 30-40%. We give the one-eyed monster sitting in the house 30-40%. We give everything a percentage. When we get done, we got nothing left for God except maybe 2 or 3%. And we say, God, if you want it, I'll give it to you. God don't want that. He wants that first 50 or 60% that you have. That's what he wants. He wants the best that you've got, not your leftovers. So many times we want to give him the leftovers, and you're not going to be blessed like that. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the 22nd, in the second verse, he said, and be not conformed to this world. Listen, it's easy. I see more people becoming conformed to the world with every passing day. I hear preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and lay members, they're just laying down, just rolling over. And they're just not going to take a stand anymore. Listen, it's hard to take a stand. It's not going to make you popular by taking a stand. It's not going to make you the most well-liked person in the community when you stand up for God. It's not going to make you win any popularity contest by not conforming to the world. But Paul said, be not conformed to the world. It's be easy to conform to them. Just be like water. Take the route of least resistance. You know, water, we used to have a little creek down below the house when I was growing up, and we'd go down there and we'd... You could throw a few rocks in that creek, and you know what? The water just turned and go. I mean, it didn't try to get through where you've made a little dam. It just go around. I mean, it followed the path of the least resistance. And that's the way the world's doing. They're following the path of the least resistance. They're not standing for God. They're being conformed to this world. People dress like the world. They call themselves Christians, but if you lined them up with a bunch of people that said they didn't even know who God was, you couldn't pick out the one that said they's a Christian from all the rest of them because of the way they're dressed. If you talked to them a few minutes, you couldn't pick out the one that said they's a Christian by the talk that they used. You couldn't pick them out of any way, shape, form, or fashion. They only are Christian in word only. And when it comes to being that indeed, they're taking the path of the least resistance, and they're being conformed unto this world, and they're not being transformed. Listen, we can take the path of the least resistance and we can conform to the world. But you'll never lead anybody to Jesus like that. You say, boy, I want to lead my family to Christ. You're not ever going to do it as long as you're not living for Him. I want to lead my friends to Jesus. You'll never do it until you start living for Him. I want to lead my neighbors to Christ. Not until you start living for Him. Listen, we have got to not be conformed to this world, but we have got to, as Paul went on and said, be transformed. Listen, we can be conformed. This world that we live in, the majority of churches, I would say the majority of churches, we go to the preacher's fellowship. They call it old-fashioned preacher's fellowship. There was 22 preachers there yesterday morning. How many preachers you reckon they are in the state of Tennessee and Georgia? 10,000? 20,000? Maybe more than that? 30,000? I don't know how many they are. You just think about it. From Bristol to Memphis, and from Chattanooga to Valdosta, how many preachers you think they are in that area? 22 at the old-fashioned preacher's fellowship. Where's the rest of them at? Now, I know everybody can't go. I realize that. Some people, it'd be hundreds of miles. Some people travel that far. We usually travel 100 or better. But I realize that everybody can't make it. But I'm just saying, 22, you know good and well that there's more than 22 people that call themselves old-fashioned preachers. Listen, it would be easy to be like all the majority of the other churches. What I'm saying tonight in this and saying all this is that the majority of churches are charismatic. They've got this charismatic movement. They've got this gospel rock mentality. We sing songs tonight out of the church hymnal, and out of our special book that the church has. They're wonderful songs that glorify and magnify the Son of God. But it would be so simple to just lay all that down, throw it all away. As Brother Woody said, one church he was in, just burn all the hymnals. That way you won't be tempted to ever use them again, and just start singing rock and roll music. That's the way the world, that's why the majority of churches are going. That's sad. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. I talked to a preacher a few years ago. Somebody said, what do you like to do? He said, I write rap music. I'm a preacher writing rap music. No, I'm sorry. Either you're not a preacher or you're not writing rap music, one or the other, because you cannot be both of those things. That's conforming to this world. The rap music has no place in the house of God or in the child of God's life. If you've got rap music in your heart, you've got something in there besides Christ. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That's just the way it is. Be not conformed to this world. Listen, we could easily just go any way besides God's way. That's the easy way. Don't stand up against anything. Just let anything go on in the house of God. Listen, I'm going to try my best to not ever do that. I've been fighting it for over 30 years. Good preacher friend of mine, he's gone on to glory now, but pastored a church for about 40 years, I guess. Somebody said, why did you resign? He said, I just got tired of fighting it. Gets hard. I mean, I'm telling you something. It's not an easy road that I travel. It's not an easy road that the child of God is walking on. But we have to take the hard road or be conformed to the world, one or the other. And Paul said, don't be conformed. By the grace of God, I won't be conformed. And with you all's help, we're going to stand, and even no matter what anybody else does. We don't need to do what everybody else does. We need to be different. Yeah, but look at the number. It ain't in numbers.
That's right.
I'd like to have a few more numbers. I ain't nobody that wouldn't like a few more people. But listen, I'll tell you something. It's not in number. Numbers is not what it's all about. It's in the Spirit and the power and the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our services. That's what it's all about today.
Amen.
We've had a lot of sickness in the church. We've come in here a few nights and only had 14, 15 people. I want to tell you something. We had good time anyway. Because the Holy Ghost, when He goes down the street, He don't count the cars in the parking lot. He don't look through the window and count how many people's on the pew. He just sees people come out to worship an old-fashioned God in an old-fashioned way. And He said, I believe this is a place for me. And He comes in and worships with us. I like it. Listen, David could have been conformed just like everybody else. He came out there to bring some lunch to his brothers, and Goliath came out and made his great challenge, and all the men of Israel run and hid in their tents. David said, what's going on? Somebody needs to go down there. He could have run and hid in somebody's tent too. But he said, I won't be conformed to what everybody else says. God's bigger than that. And God's better than that. And this uncircumcised Philistine not getting me. And he stood up and said, I'll go. They said, you ain't seen how big he is. He said, David said, how could anybody not see how big he is? The biggest thing I ever saw. The only thing is, I've never saw God. I've just experienced Him. God's bigger than anything in this world that you can know about or not know about. I've never seen Him, but He's bigger than anything I ever have seen. So when you look at the biggest thing you ever seen, you just say, God's a whole lot bigger than that.
That's right.
And that's what David did. He could have been conformed just like everybody else. When Goliath came, made his challenge, and they all ran and hid, David could have said, well, I better get back to my sheep. And he could have cut a trail back home. And he would have had every right to do so. He'd been perfectly all right to do that. But that ain't what he did. He said, somebody's got to go out there, and if it has to be me, then so be it. Be different. See, we don't be conformed. So David got his little sling and picked up 5 smooth stones. I don't know how he knew Goliath had 4 brothers, but he did. And he said, I'm taking one for all of them in case some of the rest of them want some of what God's got. And he went out against Goliath and made him mad because they sent a little boy out here. Well, this little boy has got a mighty big God backing him up. He wasn't conformed, but he went out and did God's service. Listen, we need to do the service of God in 2018 and don't be conformed to this world. He goes on, he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how you get your mind renewed? Your mind gets renewed by getting your heart transformed. It starts in the heart. When you get your heart transformed, then your mind will follow. See, whatever Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When, whatever's in your heart, what's your mind going to send out your mouth? And listen, if we get our heart transformed to God, then everything else will follow suit. It'll just follow in line. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation don't start in the head. A lot of people got head religion. But listen, your religion, you have all the religion up here in your head you want, and you'll die and go to hell. But when you get your heart transformed, the Bible said that God will create within me a new heart. And if He's created within you a new heart, He'll give you a new mind. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is, may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you want to know what God's perfect, acceptable will is? I can tell you exactly what it is. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is what he said. He said, having your mind renewed, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I find the will of God in the early chapters of Matthew. When Mary and Joseph went down to Jerusalem to worship, and they started back and they realized they'd lost God. They left God somewhere behind. There's a lot of people doing that. A lot of people doing that. We think we've got Him with us, but we realize after a while we left Him somewhere. And they went back and they searched the whole city. I don't know why they didn't start in the temple, because I mean that would have been the logical thing to do, for it seemed like to me. But they searched high and low, and finally they walked into the temple, and there was little Jesus up there talking to the doctors and the scribes and all those educated people, and they were saying, where did he learn letters and writing and reading and all these things? He invented it all. I want to tell you, he didn't have to learn it. He was it. And Mary and Joseph said, why have you dealt so with us? And he said, don't you know? I must be about my Father's business. You know I have to. That's the first time that we find where that Jesus said, I've got to do the will of the Father. I've got to be about my Father's business. And then he went with them. The Bible said he was under their authority. He was a good son, because if he hadn't been a good son, he wouldn't have been a perfect Savior. See, it got to be perfect. Listen, the Bible said, children, honor your father and your mother, that your days on earth might be longer. You know what that tells me? If you don't honor your father and your mother, your days on earth be shorter. Don't take a genius to figure that out. I'm glad that I honored my father and my mother. I don't regret that. But listen, Jesus went with them and he was under their authority until he got old enough. And then he went out and started his ministry. And I don't know how many times that you could find in the Word of God, he said, I come to do my Father's will. I come not to do my will, but to do the Father's will. That's why I'm here. I come to do what God the Father sent me to do. God's got a job for me and I intend to do it. All the way through the Gospels you find time after time after time. He said, I come not to do my own will, but the will of God, the will of Him that sent me. This, you want to know what the mind of Christ is? He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will of God for Jesus was to die on that cross. The perfect will of God for me is not to die on a cross, but to live and show the cross. I like that old saying I saw on that t-shirt that time. It said, I'm a tree hugger. I cling to the old rugged cross. Listen, I thank God for that cross. I don't know what the cross means to you, but it means salvation to me. It means my ticket to glory. It means it's an instrument of death that my Savior died upon, and He resurrected beneath it and ascended into heaven above it. I'm thankful for the cross. I wish Jesus didn't have to die on it, but He did. But you want to know what the perfect will of God is? Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. How many times have you said in your life, I'm doing what God wants me to do, and you know you're not. You know you're not. You're not even close. But you're not ever going to admit that you're not, because if you do, then you'd have to repent, and you don't want to do that. And you just get deeper and deeper and deeper and farther and farther and farther away from God all the time. Oh, listen to me tonight, church. You want to live a better Christian life in 2018? Then you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. What is holiness? Holiness don't look like the world. Holiness don't talk like the world. Holiness don't go to worldly places. Yeah, but preacher, I'm young. Don't make no difference. He didn't put an age limit on it. Don't care how young you are. Yeah, but preacher, I'm too old. He didn't put an age limit on it. I said He didn't put an age limit on it. You realize that there is no such thing as age discrimination in America? They can discriminate against race, color, all kinds of things, but when it comes to age, there's no discrimination on that. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Don't discriminate against age. A friend of mine was trying to find a job. He's about 65, 66 years old, and he said, I walked into a place, and they basically said, you're well qualified to do this job, but you're a little bit too old. He said, I wish I'd have had a tape recorder, because I would have sued somebody. Can't discriminate on age. Can't do it. So he went somewhere else and applied for the same kind of a job, and they hired him. Listen, if you're qualified, there's no such thing as age discrimination, young or old. And I realize that sometime, now, but let me clear this up. Now, I know these kids, when I was a boy, I was about 12 years old and went and applied for a job at a window company. And they said, well, we like your desire, but you're just a little bit too small and too young. If you come back when you're about 16 or 18 years old, we got a job for you. Well, I didn't. I forgot all about it by the time I was that old. But listen, but what I'm saying is, listen, it doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you're middle-aged. Doesn't matter if you're old. As long as you've been born and as long as you haven't died, there's a work for you in God's kingdom. And we just need to be with it. You want to be a better Christian in 2018? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Preacher, you're asking something unreasonable. I'm not asking anything. God's not asking anything unreasonable. And just be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want to please God this year? Do these two things. Just memorize this first two verses of the 12th chapter of Romans and apply them to your life every day. You know something? You'll find yourself getting closer and closer to God all the time. And you know what? If you get closer and closer to God, you're going to get farther and farther away from the world. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to make you really something special in the eyes of God. It may not make you too special in the eyes of men. It will around here, I mean, at least with me. But I tell you something, people, they're not going to like you if you do that. You might as well get used to it. But God will love you for it. While they come tonight and get us a song ready, this is the message. So much more that I could say, and I had some more things to say, but I feel like it's time to quit. But would you just offer your body a living sacrifice and don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You know what it is to be transformed? It's to be changed. Be changed into something different. Be changed into something different. I remember my kids when they was just small, all they wanted for Christmas one year was these Transformers. And what it was a man that you could move things around. Next thing you know, he'd become an automobile or something. See, that's what transformation is. It changes you from what you are to something else. When I drove a truck, Miss Carol, she said, you can watch the transformation take place. Comes home from church, takes his shirt and tie off, puts on his blue jeans, he starts changing. The time he gets his cowboy boots on and that western shirt, he's transformed completely. Listen, we need to transform. We need to transform into what Jesus wants us to be. Change from what we want to be and change to what Christ wants us to be. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the strength. Lord, I thank you for the message. Lord, thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, for those tonight that have a desire to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. God, help us with the renewing of our minds through our heart. God, be with us tonight. Lord, I ask you, Father, just to bless our church. God, bless in this invitation tonight. Lord, if there's anybody here that needs a touch from you, God, I ask you right now to go to where they are and touch them tonight. Father, in Jesus' name we pray and ask these favors. Amen. While we stand, while we sing.